Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. You're here just in time for some great listener questions, including some questions about what to do in that first hour off your Disney Cruise Line ship at Castaway Cay. Also, some logistical questions about Genie Plus when you're traveling with friends and family, linked via friends and family on the app, how you can control everybody through one person's app. How about logistics, getting from Ale and Compass to a fireworks cruise within about 90 minutes with a party of seven? Can it be done? We give our thoughts there. And what about after-hours events coming back to Walt Disney World at theme parks other than the Magic Kingdom? This and more on today's Be Our Guest podcast. Don't forget, today's show always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd absolutely love to help you plan your next Disney adventure, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. While you're there, fill out that free, no-obligation quote form, and we'll take care of you. We promise you, we'll give you a great service and get you the lowest price possible. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop this busy holiday season. One extra click means a lot to us. Bookmark it. Use it as often as you can. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. We could not do it without you. And our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, come on over. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2010 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Because guess what? It's sneaking up on us. It's like, No, it's not sneaking up on us. It's coming in like a freight train at this point. So get ready. Holidays are approaching. You better get that shopping done. Yeah, you better be closing it out here shortly. And, you know, just enjoy the season, though, at the same time. Enjoy some holiday music. Get that hot chocolate and enjoy today's podcast. We're going to have some fun talking. Of course, Genie Plus. Got to have that, man. Nothing says the holidays like a Genie Plus question. Got to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure we'll be doing the Christmas in the BOGP studios, Christmas Eve in the studios. I'm sure there's going to be a Genie Plus gift here or there under the tree. I'm sure it's kind of something that will aid in that pain that could happen. But we'll get to that here shortly. I'll be here. I got to start thinking about that. It's that time.
I was thinking about that a couple days ago. I was like, oh, no, the Christmas hoopla is coming for the podcast, and I got to start thinking about what I'm getting you guys.
Yeah, I know. So. It's that time of year. Anyway, that time of year usually happens about 5 minutes before we start recording the show.
Pretty much.
Just a little bit behind the scenes. But anyway, so we are going to be answering the list of questions. But first, I want to give a shout out to our listeners. I'll let you know that we were heading to Wisconsin over the past weekend because Mallory had a cheer competition up in the Dells. Actually, I learned it was Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. Great town, wonderful town, beautiful area up in Wisconsin. Had never been to Wisconsin, gorgeous up there. Was snowing and sleeting and icing on the way up. Wasn't cool, but we made it in, so I didn't get to see much on the way in on Friday night. But driving home on Sunday afternoon, it was beautiful. There's rolling hills, prairies, got to see a ski resort. Just awesome. But here's the thing. Our listeners told, you got to eat here. Kept hearing about Moose Jaw. And so I told all the other cheer parents, I'm like, nope. Saturday night, because we cheered till we were done by like dinner time on Saturday night. I was like, everybody, my listeners, I have a podcast. My listeners will not steer us wrong. We're going to a place called Moose Jaw. And the good news is, like, there was advertisements for Moose Jaw everywhere around our hotel. So that's good. I knew it had to be good, right? And it said, like, on the advertisement, everybody at Moose Jaw wears moose antlers while you eat pizza, you can drink beer, and there's an arcade. I'm like, three things, right? You get to wear antlers. Awesome. There's right. beer. I mean, I'm not a beer drinker, but they had like, root beer and stuff like that. So I was like, and pizza. I was like, oh, yeah. We get there. Dude, they have taco pizza.
Oh, Mike's in.
Okay, hey, let me just say this real quick because this is a Disney podcast. I don't want to make this all about the Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. But here's the thing. It was the best taco pizza I've had in my life. It beat Happy Joe's, which is unbelievable because Happy Joe's is like the nectar of the gods. And this was better. It was so good. And so we had that. We ate at a place called, Buffalo Phil's. That was right behind our hotel. The place brings out your food on like a miniature train. Okay, so there's a train that runs around. Yeah, there's a couple trains that run around the restaurant, and like they'll put your food on these like flatbed train cars, and boop boop, and they bring your train out or your food out on the train. It's crazy, dude. Buffalo Phil's. Have you ever up in Racine? And I brought home cheese curds. We just had to do a big Google search to find out what a curd is. I've been eating these things all day. It's going to tear up my bad things. My digestive system is going to be all kinds of messed up for the next month. But Wisconsin, I love you. I'm just saying, because I can't stop eating the cheese curds. So thanks everybody for all the great advice. Thanks for all my friends up in Wisconsin. Love your state. It was a lot of fun. And also one other thing. If you're a Big Brother fan, got to meet Janelle, the legend. It was awesome. And I was, okay, real quick too. If you know Janelle from Big Brother, I know most people probably don't watch reality TV, but if you do, you know, this was like a 50-50 proposition. I knew like her gym was there. I was like, oh, she's here. Like Pam went up to her, asked if I could meet her because I was too scared to ask because she's a big celebrity, but she said yes. But I was like, oh my God, two things are going to happen because she's the winningest Big Brother player ever. Most competitive. And I was like, either, because I've seen her on TV, either she will kill me, because that's how she is on the show, right? She is super competitive. She will just kill anybody in her way on the show, or she'll be super nice. And so I was like, either I'm going to die here at this cheer competition because I want to get a picture with her, or she's going to be awesome and we're going to get a picture together. We ended up talking cheer, Big Brother, all kinds of stuff for about 15 minutes. She was awesome. So shout out to Janelle from Big Brother. Got to meet her because she was cheering against Mallory's squad. Ironically enough, they're in the same division. So.
That was fun.
Anyway, let's get to Disney Talk. Ricky's here from the Mouse for Less. Ricky, what's up? Sorry I kind of hogged all that up, but that was my weekend.
I'm done. That's all there's all the time for.
And what can I get you? I love how people talk up there. What can I get you?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. No, I was back in your neck of the woods this past weekend, so I was happy because I got real Italian food that I have missed so very much because here in Atlanta, no offense to Atlanta, but their Italian food's not the best. So I got real Italian food and I have figured out, speaking of cheese, I've figured out why I have such problems with Italian food down here. And it's a St. Louis problem.
It's provolone.
They don't put Provel cheese on anything. Yep. And that is the problem is that I got garlic cheese bread and I figured out that it was Provel cheese on the garlic cheese bread. And that's what makes it so good. And they definitely don't use that here. And I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. So I got to find Provel cheese. I think I found it. So I got to buy some so I can make my own like delicious garlic cheese bread.
That's right. And so, get the curd. Yes. I'm telling you, I'm all about the curd now.
Everything's so, I'm all about the Provel, baby. Let's bring it back Provel down curds. Here to Atlanta. Let's go.
There you go. And also joining us from the wonderful Keystone State of Pennsylvania, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. So I have a big event happening this week.
Nice.
I know, right? It is our anniversary. We actually got married twice.
What?
I've told the story, I think, a couple times. We got married in a really small ceremony and then had a real wedding, a big wedding in June. So anyways, this
nice.
Was just
so this
a
is
really
your,
small,
yes. Your official.
I mean, yes, sort of. I think that most of my family thinks though that the official is in June.
In June.
But yes.
Gotcha.
But at this point, I guess it's safe to let the cat out of the bag, right? It's been quite a few years, so we're good on that.
I think you're good. Yes.
But anniversary. Right.
Well, congratulations.
Tomorrow. Well, that's, Thursday. Yes.
That's so, awesome. Tomorrow, Thursday.
Because today's Wednesday.
It's all kinds of confusing because we record these not on the actual day.
I know, right?
Anniversaries. Yeah. It's like seven layers of confusing for me.
I know. You're like, you know, just exposing the
this
magic
week.
Behind
I know,
the podcast.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're all family. Early? We're all family here. Come on now.
I mean, yeah.
So anyways, yes, I know. So, but I'm excited to be doing this today because it just feels like the world of Disney is moving like super fast right now, doesn't it?
Yes.
They were testing the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster. Apparently the president of Disney Parks was cruising around on the spinny coaster recently.
Can't wait. Can't wait to experience it.
Crazy.
Yep.
I know. Lots of good stuff happening. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see some of these new things coming up. And I was thinking too, like 2022, there's a lot of big stuff happening in 2022. We have all these things happening in the parks and stuff, but the thing I'm most excited about is the Wish.
Yes. Yes.
Last time I got excited for a big year was 2020. So I'm just
valid point. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Easy.
I'm just pretty excited about 2020.
2020
well.
Was gonna be a sweet year, man. It's like it's 2020. It's all it sounds cool, like it's nice and round number. Yeah, okay. Easy.
No.
No, it's gonna be 2022 is gonna be awesome. I'm just calling it.
Oh no, but, he just said it. No.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. 2021 wasn't bad. Things got better. I mean, except for the supply chain, and it's fixing itself, okay, no. I think. Oh, we'll see. All right, Jill's got a question from the inbox, and you can always send your questions to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Just put in the subject line there, it's a listener question, so we know to get that in the right area. And it's from she's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She says about 990 miles from Disney, and we'll find out the exact mileage when we start the long drive on December 22nd. Nice. So here in just a few days, she'll be heading down. Hey, Mike and crew, my family's heading down to Disney for a birthday trip for our daughter, thanks to one of your agents, Laura. Hey,
awesome.
I know Laura. She's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome.
She's like a rock star.
Yeah.
The trip is a surprise, and we'll be in the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Eve. Oh, my gosh. It's not a surprise now. I hate when people do that to me. Anyway, the trip is a surprise. We'll be in the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Eve when she turns 5. To add to the surprise, my mom and stepdad are going to join us in the park that day. My question is this. If I have my mom and stepdad linked to my friends and family in my Disney experience, am I able to purchase Genie Plus for them in the app when I get it for my family, or do they have to purchase it separately? Trying to make things as easy for them as possible since they are off-site and want to plan our rides and day together. Thanks for all the great advice that you, the crew, and our listeners give, Jill. Okay, who wants to take a stab at this one?
I can, because I've done it. Okay, so you absolutely can purchase Genie Plus for people who you are linked to in the app. It really works like all the other features when you're linked in the apps, right? So like PhotoPass, Memory Maker. If you have Memory Maker, as long as you're linked in the app, it will work for that. Trying to think something else. Like if you're making park reservations, if you're linked to those people, you can make park reservations for them. I almost said fast pass. You want to make a fast. Oh, wait. We're talking about Genie Plus. But anyways, yes. So it will work that way. And it's actually really easy. That is one of the things that I do like about the app is once you're linked, the fact that you can bring other people into it, I think, and plan for them is a really cool feature about that app. So, yeah.
How cool is it that her daughter's birthday is on Christmas Eve?
That's awesome.
I know, right?
Santa comes for her birthday. That's awesome. I know. Awesome.
It is.
It's kind of hard for us, but because Mallory's birthday is January 2nd. It's a whole thing, too. Okay. Yes. Stephanie has a question here in the live chat. We appreciate her being here with us on Facebook and YouTube. She's on Facebook. I have a question. We are booked for a private fireworks cruise for Harmonious, launching from the Yacht Club at 8 o'clock. They said we have to board at 7:45. We have an ADR at Ale and Compass at 6:25. Will we make it to the boarding by 7:45? 6:25 was the earliest reservation I could find. We have a party of 7. Thanks for all you do. This one's going to be tight.
I know.
This one makes you here. It's all about this is a philosophical question.
This is.
I am super conservative on my times. I hate to be late because here's the thing. Okay, it's at Yacht Club. That's where you're boarding the yacht. That's where you're boarding the pontoon boat.
Your yacht for the evening.
Call it a yacht. I mean, it's pretty sweet. It's a private, it's a fireworks cruise. It feels like a yacht. It's pretty sweet. I've done it. It's awesome. You're not that far away at Ale and Compass.
You're right there. You literally are right there.
There's a lot of variables. One, the party of 7 makes me nervous. At first, I thought it said party of 2, which party of 2, possibly. Party of 7 takes longer to serve. And again, right now we're in that weird time with staffing issues, right? I mean, if there's not a huge, like sometimes it takes longer because there might not be enough cooks in the kitchen. You know, usually we're talking about too many cooks being in the kitchen when it comes to planning Disney trips. You got all kinds of trouble when that happens. We need more cooks in the kitchen at Ale and Compass to get you out to your boat. I don't know, Pam. This one, I think.
I have good advice.
It's close.
Ready. Yeah, I know. I feel that way too. The larger party is scaring me a little bit because we all have been probably together with a larger party at many times, and we're going on 2 hours someplace, sometimes every now and then. And it's fine when you don't have any place to go and you're hanging with friends and all this, but when you have someplace to go, it can be crazy. So one of the things I'm going to suggest is the Ale and Compass Lounge. You can get the full menu from Ale and Compass served right there in the lounge. So you could get there early, let them know what, you know, your deadline is, and hopefully they can work with you there if that's really where you want to eat. Or you can try to make an ADR at a different time or continue to look for an earlier one. I would give myself a little extra time in that space. I just would, for all the reasons that Mike mentioned there, the shortness of staff, the just a larger party size. It's just a lot right now sometimes. So, and it could work out perfectly or it could go down in flames.
Here's the other thing too, is it's going to be a nice meal. Ale and Compass is a nice place to eat. Like, it's good food. It's great atmosphere. It's kind of a hidden gem. And just the way my brain works, Stephanie's maybe different, but I don't want to be constantly like through the meal worried about like, I got to get out of here, you know, because then I'm like ruining my whole experience of like, oh my gosh, I'm looking at my clock. Like, oh, I got to, I mean, I taught elementary school for 17 years, dude. I can hammer down a meal faster than anybody because I had 15 minute lunches. Like, my wife still does. I'm like, fam, slow down. Like, I can't keep up. Like, she's always like, dang, like, I haven't even done my salad yet. Like, you're finished with your meal. Slow down. She's like, you don't eat as fast anymore. I'm like, I know. I work from home, you know, a normal person at this point. But, yeah, so I don't want you to ruin the meal because it's a good meal. You know, and everybody's off. It's a level of stress. So I think those are good points. Also, Jennifer gave a good point. At minimum, she says, have everybody know what they want, kind of look on the app and just check the menu. And that way you could just be like, when set it, like when they come for drinks, like, we're ready to order. Like,
just go
and explain, like, okay, we got a boat to catch. No kidding. Like, they're like, yeah, right. Yeah. No, seriously, we have a boat right there. It's, see, I want the balloons. That's us. And then Michelle also says, maybe check in early if possible. You know, it doesn't hurt. You know, I mean, you could get there, you know, maybe 30 minutes early. They might get you in early. They might not, but you never know. It happens sometimes. Those are both great pieces of advice.
Right. And if you are going to do it, the other thing I would mention, it was a great suggestion to have everyone know what they want to order.
Yeah.
The other suggestion is ask for your check early.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we have gotten stuck on the waiting for the check.
Yes.
I'm like, what are we doing back there? Do we have an abacus? Are we moving beads? How are we figuring the check out now? Is it taking that long?
And if there's any discounts, if there's any discounts that need to come in the play, that makes it even harder. So that was going to be my suggestion. If you decided to go for it, ask for the check, you know, way ahead of time. When your food gets delivered, I kind of agree with you. At first, I thought, yeah, you can make it, but that party of seven definitely is, you know, causing me some hesitation. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of times when I check in, if I check in just a few minutes early, they aren't seating me at 6:25. They're seating me a few minutes after that too. So, I think on this one, you're cutting it just a smidgen too close, even for me, and that says a lot.
Yeah, that does say a lot. Because
I would normally probably go for it, but unless you all know what you want to order, you do it at the time that you basically sit down, and the server comes and like asks for your drinks, and you say, "Hey, I need the check ASAP," and you only order entrees, you don't order like a bunch of appetizers and stuff, you know, and desserts, that's the only way I think you're going to be able to make it. And
Ale and Compass, so you may be able to get it early if y'all show up early and you're ready to rock.
You might.
Because it's not like, it's not like Beaches and Cream or something. It could have open availability. You never know.
They could. All right. And go earlier, closer to, I would go, I think probably, what do they open at 5 or something? If you can, try to go closer to that time than anything else. Yeah.
Shout out to Terry, who's standing in line for Ratatouille as she tunes
in. Yay.
Jealous. Dustin has a question here. Hey, Mike, my family has an upcoming trip for late February 2022. We love the after hours events and are patiently waiting for them to announce the after hours dates during our trip. I know you guys love predicting these releases, especially when you know as soon as you say, especially when you know as soon as you say one thing, Disney will come out and announce something different before the episode releases. Sure. He's using our power.
He is good. Using our power for good or evil. I don't know. Is it good or evil? I don't know. Yeah.
I guess I'm partially asking just to get Disney to announce already. There you go. Also, do you guys feel they will only do Magic Kingdom still, or do you think they will bring it to other parks as well? Thanks for all you do, Dustin. Ricky, what do you think? It's kind of your ballpark. Do you think they'll do any after? Because remember, they were doing like Animal Kingdom After Hours events.
They were, and they were doing Hollywood Studios. I mean,
it's think about it, though. I mean, it's a revenue generator. Possibly.
It is, and we all know that certain people in charge kind of like generating revenue now.
But it's a win-win, right? Disney wants to make money, and people like these events. I mean, these are popular.
They are. You know, I guess I wouldn't put it past them announcing one, for the spring, late winter, early spring. I haven't heard a single thing, like no rumors or anything about them doing this though. So I'm not sure if they are going to. It obviously has been a while since they've done an actual After Hours event instead of like the holiday versions of the After Hours events. So yeah, I don't know if they're going to do it yet or not. I would say don't count on it. And then if they do, surprise, they are, that's kind of my thought, because right now they are doing the After Hours type thing, but for people staying at deluxe resorts, they're doing that at Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if that could interfere with it too. But the other thing is if they do offer it, I would expect it would only be at the Magic Kingdom. So I'm just going to throw that out there too.
What's interesting though, is how Disneyland put out that, plan for the spring and how they're themed. I thought that was a great idea. Now, they always say Disneyland's more of a locals park, but I think, try that at Walt Disney World, because those ideas really, they would entice me almost to book a vacation for like a weekend. I mean, because it was a Star Wars themed one. Cool. Wasn't there like a kind of like almost like a date night, kind of like back how they used to do, decades ago.
Date night at Disneyland.
I mean, it's just like a nostalgia kind of thing. I think that would bring out people to go down and check them out.
Before COVID happened, they had done a Villains After Hours
that
event.
That one too, yeah.
And that was at the Magic... No, wait.
Studios,
yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, when we were there, I definitely saw like merchandise that they were still trying to sell for like Villains After Hours. I was like, why are you trying to sell this? But, whatever. So the event didn't even happen. Isn't even happening right now. But I don't know, honestly, if they're going to do it. But, surprise, they're probably doing it this week now since I've been
talking about it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You just got 4 After Hours events by next week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Ryan's got an email here. He says, Walt Disney World trip for Christmas or wait and surprise? Hey, love the show. I have what I hope proves to be an interesting dilemma. In February, we were all set to go to Walt Disney World with close friends of ours that have children of similar age. For context, our kids are 6, 8, and 3 at the time of the trip. We have been debating whether we should wrap up the Magic Bands, present them as a Christmas present, or wait and surprise the kids when we pick them up from school the day we leave for Walt Disney World. That'll be February 11th for context. What do you think? Is it better to give the trip for Christmas to allow the anticipation to build, or blow their socks off in the school parking lot, possibly inciting an incident with the safety patrol? Thanks for your help. I like the way Ryan thinks, Ryan. Okay, Ryan, I got thoughts on this one. I got to jump in on this one first and see what we all... This is Christmas, man. This, you got to do it. It's the anticipation thing, right? For one thing, I mean, wrap the Magic Bands, the guidebook, a stuffed Mickey or their favorite plush, whatever it is. I mean, this is going to be that, because they're going to always associate Christmas, like every Christmas, right? Even when they're like grown and they talk to their kids and their grandkids, they're like, this one Christmas, man, I'm gonna tell you about this one Christmas back in 2021. And I'm like, grandpa, you're crazy. No, I'm telling you, back in 2020, this is like in the year 2100, 2021, man, my parents wrapped up magic bands. What's a magic band? Anyway, they gave us a gift of Walt Disney. This is the thing, because it'll become like, it'll be associated with the holiday. It'll be that Christmas. And you will be able to talk about it. And for one thing, I can't. I always tell this to my guests at the Magic for Less that to give gifts like this and keep it secret from their parents or from their kids. I'm like, there's no way I could ever do that. I cannot keep a secret that big ever. I couldn't do it. Like, I'm too excited. So you wouldn't have to keep the secret as long. You could talk about it. You could have fun with it at Christmas, and it would be like something you could talk about years and years and years. It'd be like the Christmas thing. I would totally do it. I know picking them up, but I mean, you know, when you pick them up from school too, like it could be like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, it's a big shock and it's exciting, but it's almost like, oh my gosh, like, you know, boom, we're gone. So they're not expecting it, and it's not, I just think that they would have time to process, and that could be a good thing for a lot of kids. I don't, Pam, what would you do, Christmas or right at the day of?
No, I agree. I would do Christmas as well. And I think, I mean, for many of us, planning is half the fun. And I think that kids enjoy something to anticipate as well, right? It would also help you give them an opportunity to have some input on some of the things that they want to do, that y'all want to do. And I think that's always a good thing. The more you can pull people into the planning, the more you give them a little ownership of the trip. And you can always say things like, remember, you really wanted to do this. And as a parent too, the other reason why this is beneficial is you can always say,
yeah,
use it as sort of a bargaining chip, right? Or reminder that, you know, we want to do practice this or do this because we're going to, you know, go when we go on our trip, we're going to whatever. It's always have a good positive reinforcer there. So use that to your advantage.
And it's, you're right. I mean, it's you don't think about kids as being part of the trip planning process, but they definitely are. I mean, because
they're
going to talk about informally, you know, I'm excited about this, or, you know, I'm not sure about this. And when you hear that, then you kind of really, it's almost an informal process where the parents or, you know, the adults that are kind of the point person on the trip, they're, you know, they're the person who's laying the groundwork, you know, they're putting the spreadsheet together and stuff like that. But if you keep your ear open, those kids will give you cues, and it'll make the entire family experience better. And I think that would give you the opportunity over the next, you know, 6-8 weeks to really build the trip around the family. I don't know, Ricky, what would you do?
Yeah, I think I would give it a Christmas as well. I like the idea of surprising them, but, you know, like on the day, but that anticipation and the things that you can do as a family to gear up for the trip. I mean, Brian and I do this all the time where we'll talk about our upcoming trip. What do you want to do? What things do you want to try? You know, what restaurants or, you know, what snacks or, you know, things, various things like that. And it gives us conversation pieces to talk about, you know, whether we're having dinner or whatever. You can do Disney movie nights and the, you know, this is an attraction we're going to go on and we're gearing up and have like family dinners that revolve around that movie. We have lots of like articles on the Mouse for Less about people who have done this, and they, you know, they'll do like a family movie night and then they'll have like a themed dinner with that night. So if you're looking for ideas, we have some stuff on the Mouse for Less for that in the blog section. But, you know, it's just, I think that, like you said, that anticipation and getting their input and having them included in that planning process is such an exciting thing that, you know, would be sad to miss out on. Just to have that real big shock and awe on the day of. So I'm gonna say go at Christmas.
And the safety patrol at your kid's school will thank you. So
yeah, I'm sure.
All right, Jessica's got a question here. One of my great guests over at the Magic for Less Travel. She says, hey, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and #ScottyG. Mike has been super helpful with getting us ready for our first ever cruise sailing on the Disney Dream in April of 2022. But I wanted to ask the BOGP crew a few questions for reference. We're cruising with me, my husband, 2 kids, 9 and 7, and my parents, who are in their 70s, number one. For a family visiting Castaway Cay for the first time, what are your tips? What do we do when we get off the ship? Where do we go? What do we grab some lounge chairs at the family beach? Can we leave our belongings at our lounge chairs when we get our food? I don't know if we'll book any experiences there. We might just relax and enjoy the beach, but I want to have a plan for when we get off the ship so we aren't wasting any valuable time. Also, do we need any water shoes or flip-flops, or are flip-flops okay? What is your Castaway Cay plan for the first timer? She has one other question other than that. All right, Pam, go ahead and take this one. So you get off the thing is, bottom line is, It's so simple. It's so awesome.
It is so simple, right? It's awesome. So now what you're going to do with Castaway Key is in the Disney Cruise Line app, you're going to actually sign up. Well, not sign up, but, you know, get a time to get off the boat. And they do that just to keep everyone socially distant and keep you in little manageable groups. And it actually works really well. So make sure you check that out. The app has become a lot more important on a Disney Cruise Line trip. It's not that you have to be on it all the time. It's actually just that it's more effective. You used to go to like guest services to do a lot of things. You don't have to do that anymore. You can do it in the app. And you used to have to look at the little navigator that would be in your room.
Remember how you used to bring highlighters, right? Of like a yellow one, a pink one, and like, okay, but this is Mallory's color, this is my color, this is Paige's. Yeah, we don't have that anymore. Yeah.
And then when you forgot the paper back in your stateroom, you were like, no.
I know, seriously, always gotta go down to deck 3, get another copy.
I know. So anyways, now you can do so many things on the app. But yeah, this is one of the things that you'll sign up for in advance.
Yeah.
What were some of the other questions?
So she's like, okay, we can get off the ship. So you can just throw your stuff on a lounger.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't ever had any problem with leaving my stuff there. And we go to eat. We just go to eat. You know, we leave our stuff on the chairs. Mm-hmm. Flip-flops are fine. Water shoes. I go barefoot sometimes. I mean, you probably want to wear flip-flops if you want to like go in the restrooms or the stores.
Oh, yeah. Or walk around on the concrete.
Yeah. The concrete gets hot. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You probably want to have those on. I'll be honest, like the first probably 5 or 6 times we went to Castaway Key, we didn't book any kind of like rentals or anything. Now we've done like bicycle rentals. They're like really cheap. We've done this past time we were there with the girls, we did pedal boards, we did kayaks. The girls love to snorkel, but this stuff is really inexpensive. You can book that on the app before you go, or actually during your online check-in process if you want, but it's usually their day of if you want to get it too most of the time. But you really don't have to do anything. You just kind of get off the ship, throw your stuff on the family beach on some loungers, pull them up under, you know, one of the shade things, and you're sitting in paradise, man. It is awesome.
Oh, it depends on how adventurous you want to be on Castaway Key. Do you want to do activities, or do you want to sit on a lounger and just enjoy being in paradise? That's basically the two ways to go about it. And for the kids, they do have, on the family beach, they do have a really cool... like a water play area that they can just go on. And as long as, you know, they're comfortable swimming, they have like slides and stuff like that. So one of those slides is super fast and intense.
If you're adventurous, go on. What's that? It's Pelican Plunge.
That's the one. Pelican Plunge. Yeah.
You don't want some little kids on that one. That one's for the adults, man. That thing shoots people out.
Oh, that sucker is intense.
That's no joke.
I would, you know, it just depends on the kind of vacation that you want. I've never done a single like activity on Castaway Key. I just enjoy sitting on a lounge chair and being in paradise. But you know, it like I said, it depends. And well, that is after running a 5K, which is always the dumbest thing ever because it's so hot, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, but that leads you to two great locations on the island: Cookies and Cookies 2.
This is true.
Either one.
So, decide what kind of vacation and experience you want to have on Castaway Key, and that's the best thing to do. So.
All right. Her second question, what activities on the ship are worth booking ahead of time? Aside from the ones that cost extra, like Palo or the spa, are there activities on the ship that we should be sure to reserve ahead of time? Okay. So, and she says, any other advice for the first time cruising families? Much appreciated. Thanks so much always for your valuable insights. Jessica's in Springfield, Virginia. All right. So, yeah, I mean, definitely if you want to do like specialty adult dining, Palo, Remy, you know, if you got Remy on your ship, if you want to do tastings, those are, you know, because you might want to, you know, go with, because you have the parents are going with you. So maybe you want to go do like a bourbon tasting or I don't know if I'd recommend a tequila tasting. Do that at your own. I'm just saying they're fun, but don't come at me if you're like, dude, I shouldn't have done the tequila tasting. They are awesome, but I'm just saying do it at your own risk. They're cool. They have margarita taste. They have all kinds of taste, mojitos. That kind of stuff is fun. I'm trying to think. You might want to enter because they don't have little kids. They're not.
No.
I was thinking like the diaper dash.
Dash. But you can go watch it. It's a lot of fun to watch.
I love watching that. Pam, what else, though, can you sign up for? Because she already said, you know, other than like the spa services, Palo, stuff like that. Is there anything else?
You can sign up for if they have a... character meal during your cruise sailing. That's not going to be every cruise sailing. So keep that in mind. They really are like the tastings and mixology and things like that. They all do cost a little, you know, a nominal fee. Really, they aren't bad at all. But those things too. There are also, you don't have to sign up during the, in the app, but they have bingo that goes on throughout the cruise. And I think they were still, I don't think you were buying the cards in the app. I think you still, that was one of the few things you actually still had to go and do, but I could, I've never played bingo on the ship. I know, right?
I have.
So
but here's the thing about, we played, actually I played with, this sounds terrible. I played with Mallory and Paige. When we were down in August. And the thing is, what's funny is, I know, like I'm a, like I should be on Golden Girls or something, but it's a different vibe on the Disney Cruise Line. Cause it's not as, it's not just like all old ladies. Well, kind of, but anyway, the funny thing is on a cruise, like there's actually a bingo host and like, they not only like call the numbers, but they play these fun games. It's not just like back in elementary school where you gotta get like diagonals and like up and down and that's it. Like they do like little shapes, but they tell stories like in between the numbers that come up on the computer. And like, you gotta, you know, if you're like missing one number from winning, like you gotta stand up and like put, you know, hold your, put your finger on your nose or, you know, something.
Oh
something
my gosh.
I mean, it's a whole thing. Like nice. Bingo's actually kind of fun on the ship. It's not just like, you know, was his name-o kind of thing. You know, the dog.
Got it.
It's fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do they still, are they doing for the character meet and greets? Are they, I know like, obviously, for a time, they were doing, like, before COVID, I know, they were doing, like, the princesses and, like, sign up for that. But, like, are they doing, for the regular character meet and greets, are they doing, like, a sign up for that right now?
When I was on it in August, you just kind of walked there. I mean, okay. Just, there weren't many people on the ship, so you just kind of walked up to the characters and, you know, they're socially distant. They're just,
right.
Characters were everywhere.
Okay, so
they were everywhere. Yeah.
And then the other thing, the nice thing about Disney Cruise Line is like, you don't really have to sign up for too much ahead of time. Like the activities on the ship, you just kind of go and show up and, you know, get to, you know, experience them. So that part's really cool too.
All right. Cher's got a question. She is down in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mike and crew, I'm flying in late on a Wednesday and just noticed that the Magic Kingdom has extended hours for deluxe resort guests. See, she's from Dallas, so I said deluxe.
Nice.
So yeah. She understands what I'm saying. So I added a park day to pop in. Will the restaurants in the Magic Kingdom be open during extended hours, or should we grab something at the airport? Thanks, Sherry. Sherry, if you want something besides Pecos Bills and Cosmic Rays, I would.
I don't even know if those will be open.
Something
honestly.
Will be open. One of them will be open. I mean,
some
not
sort
let
of
you
snack
down.
Cart will be open.
No, one of either Pecos Bills or Cosmic Rays will be open. That's probably about it, though.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
I mean, would you think, Pam, you agree? I mean, it's probably, that's probably one or the other is probably it, I would guess.
That it, yeah, there's not going to be a lot open. And so I would definitely head there. Or when it's over, you could head to one of the resorts on the monorail line too. And that would be an easy way to grab food.
But so. No, you will have to do mobile ordering for the resorts. So
yep.
That, you know, and especially like late at night, it is a challenge to do mobile ordering. At the resorts. So just a heads up for that too.
All right. Last question of the day. It's another cruise question coming in from Jacqueline. It says Disney cruise trip in January. So we got to get to this one because we're halfway through December, people. Got to get moving.
Yeah,
coming
right?
up.
Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. After my first dopey challenge, I'm going on my second ever Disney cruise. It's a 4-day on the Dream. Do you have any recommendations for Port Adventures in Nassau? My group is debating between Pearl Island Beach Escape with lunch or Blackbeard's Revenge Pirate Ship Adventure. Do you have any preference between these two options, or would you recommend something else? I'll be honest. I've never done a port adventure in Nassau. I've gotten off and walked around a few times and gone to like the Straw Market, and I've gone over to Paradise. What's that? Paradise Island or the big
Atlantis
casino. Atlantis.
Yeah.
Over to Atlantis. That's about all I've done in Nassau. Lately, I've been just kind of taking Nassau as like a sea day and just hanging out on the ship when people get off. Have any of you guys done port adventures in Nassau? Anything? Any
take? No, it's been a while if we have. So I haven't done those two in particular. I know. But I know that some people are looking for like a beach day on Nassau. So I think, you know, if that's what you're looking for, you are hoping to lay on the beach, consider that. You know, like Mike mentioned, though, so many people do stay on the ship. Well, I won't say so many because a lot of people are going to get off, but that leads for sort of an empty ship. Mm-hmm. And it makes it easier to do the aqueduct if that's on your ship, or the aquedunk. And you could also do something like take a leisurely lunch at one of the sit-down restaurants. One will be open for lunch too. So it's just something to consider.
I do like the name of the one, though. Blackbeard's Revenge Pirate Ship Adventure. I'm in for that. Like, I'm going. Like, that. I don't know what it is, but sign me up. That just sounds like it's dangerous.
You want to be there.
I mean, anything that has revenge and Blackbeard in it, it sounds like he may not come back. I'm just saying. So be careful. Last question she has. Do you have any recommendations specific to the Disney Dream Ship? My first Disney cruise was about 15 years ago, and it was the Big Red Boat. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I was just seeing if Ricky was paying attention.
I was paying attention. Of course, it's my first cruise.
That was more than 15 years ago. That was like 25.
That was, yeah, like 25. True story, because yeah, it was my first cruise.
It's been over 20 for cruise. Let's see, my first Disney cruise was almost 15 years ago when I was in middle school. We're trying to get a reservation for one of the tastings, rum or mixology, but they are currently all sold out. We plan on trying to book once we get on board. Any other suggestions for activities on board or dining? Thanks for all your help, Tony. So we kind of talked about this in the last question. Should I give my like black diamond tip for these kind of things? I will give my black diamond tip. But if you're sailing with me, and usually you guys are because we do podcast cruises, which we are doing another one. We're going to get that out here soon. If it is sold out, okay, immediately get on the ship and just go to like guest services or whatever. Okay, that's your first bet to try to get in a sold out like mixology or any kind of tasting. If they give you it's full, find the location where it is. Like if it's in, say it's in 687 or say it's in the district bar, go to that bar and talk to the bartender and just talk them up. Be like, oh, I booked this cruise because I love mixology so much. Like I have a 7 cruise mixology streak going. Like this is my buddy hashtag Scotty G. He came all the way from Michigan. Like, we have to do this mixology. They'll set you another one. Typically they will. I can't promise you, but if you're good to them and you're like, maybe you get a drink earlier in the cruise, you give them a tip, they'll hook you up. I'm just saying, like, don't think all this is not official Disney Cruise Line policy. Do not take Mike Rahman had nothing to do with this. I know it's recorded. I'm just saying. It can work. Not all things are lost. But any other suggestions though for activities, stuff like that, Pam? Anything that we left out, especially for somebody that's just finishing Dopey, second time on the Dream? Anything to think about?
I think one of the things that people do when they go on a Disney cruise is they make the mistake of feeling like if they aren't participating in all these activities, that they're somehow missing out on something. And I will say, and I know everyone here will agree, those moments that you have, we can just sit and relax more than anything else, become really, really valuable. They really do. Make sure you check out Deck 4. You're going to want to sit there and relax and enjoy it. Make sure that you go all the way up and back on the ship to check out that adult area back there. That's a really cool place to see a sunrise or a sunset. And just enjoy, make time to enjoy and not do anything.
Exactly. It's hard, but yeah, that's some of the best times.
It is.
See a sunset, see a sunrise. Everybody that goes on a cruise, see a sunset, see a sunrise. Got to do it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Shows. Thank you for all the great questions. A lot of them came from the inbox today, which we really appreciate. So if you have a question, send that again to mike@brguestpodcast.com. It'll be right towards the top and we'll get to it right away. Today's show, of course, always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you get on the Disney dream, the wish, the fantasy, the magic, the wonder, wherever you want to go. You want to cruise through that Panama Canal? That can happen. You want to head out to Disneyland? You want to go to Walt Disney World? We're going to make After Hours event a thing down there. We're trying.
You want to
use Genie Plus? We're going to get that taken care of for you as well. We want you to have a great Disney adventure. You can still even put a Christmas Disney trip under that tree. The supply chain does not have anything to do with this. We can make it happen immediately. That's the greatest thing. So drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials over there, all the trip planning tools. And while you're there, fill out that quote form. All you got to do is pick the destination you're curious about. World, Disneyland, Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, what have you. put in as much information as you have. What's your, you know, preferred resort? What are you thinking? Dates, who's going? And we'll get you some pricing, some availability, and we can go from there. We'll take great care of you. We promise you that. So just swing by themagicforless.com. We want to take care of you when it comes to your Disney trip planning today. So drop by themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you shop online this week. We'd really appreciate that. One extra click means a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Also, thank you to our patrons who support the show and allow us to put the show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. You also get Mike in the Midwest over there, a bonus podcast every week. And this week, we're going through a Sears wish book from the 1980s and looking nice. At the stuff Mike used to want so badly for Santa to bring him. And he got one or two of the things, but a lot of the things, like the remote control airplane from the 80s, which he would have broken within 5 minutes, never happened. So it's probably better that I didn't get it. So we'll talk about that on Mike in the Midwest. So again, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast for that. You can give me a follow on social media at BeOurGuestMike. I would love to talk to you over on the social media. You can follow Ricky at Ricky Nibs. You can follow Pam at TMFLT Pam and the show at BeOurGuestPod, Instagram and Twitter. Of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube, and we will let you know every time we go live and we record these podcasts. Also, one final thing, if you wouldn't mind, give us a rating and review wherever you download the show, either Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Pocket Cast, wherever you grab the show, those ratings and reviews really do help us out. And also, subscribe to the show or follow whatever it is, you know, however they word it on your app of choice. That really does help support our podcast. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday with some more fun Disney talk to get you out the door and down the road. But until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.